A very pleasant good morning to all.
Good morning.
And I must take this opportunity also to bring the warm greetings of the brethren there from Goshen Assembly, that is my home assembly in St. Elizabeth. And many other brethren have sent their warm greetings to the saints here who are gathered in conference. Well, I must mention, for instance, Lodian and Sharon. Those are some that you know. And in fact, I was inquiring concerning Brother Mervyn Williams, and Brother Mervyn's mind is still sharp, but he has to be one place now, being cared for by his sister and a nurse in Kingston. This morning is my privilege to speak a little and to then open it up concerning the call, responding to the call of the Lord to preach him. And I think as to we've been saying, some of the little children, like 8-year-old Josiah, whom the Lord has called, and what a king he was. And Hezekiah was also mentioned. And I wonder, God called little children, and he also called old men. I think of the oldest man he has ever called, and his name was Noah. Noah was 600 years old, or thereabout, when God called him to build the ark. And so that none should be exempt this morning, God might be calling you as a little child, as well as an old man, or old, age rumor. But he is calling, and I trust we are listening to the call of Christ. Let us turn our Bibles to St. Matthew chapter 9 and read that verse which we have been mentioning before, verses 37 to 38, and then a verse in chapter 10. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he may send forth laborers into his harvest. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirit to cast them out and to heal all manner of diseases and all manner of sicknesses and all manner of diseases. Verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritan enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We just pause there. God may call us to various kinds of service. There are other verses you may take note of that are listed there. I might not read all the verses that are displayed. So there are various kinds of service that God may call us to. Some he called to teach Sunday school, some to be counselors at Bible camp, some to be directors of Bible camp, some he called to give out tracts, and some he called them on short-term as well as long-term basis. So there are various ways. I think one brother, maybe it's Brother Hadley last night, says that we all are called. We all are called to do something. We're not just, and our God is a God of variety. And we are not called, all of us, to the same thing. Just as the apostles say, not all of us are the eye, are the ears, are the mouth, are the hand, are the foot. We all are called, and we all complement one another in this great service of the Lord. That's why the emphasis on unity is so important, that we are united in the work because we are serving the same Lord. And the Lord called and sent forth. He said, pray the Lord of the harvest that he may send forth laborers into his harvest. And you think that, where are we going to get these laborers from? The disciples were right there. And right away, the Lord of the harvest started to send them forth. You notice that he is the Lord of the harvest. And right away, he called them and sent them forth to serve. The person whom the Lord called in these services are to be assumed that they are saved and baptized and in fellowship. Now, as to how God called a person, he doesn't call all of us in the same way. Some of us hear a voice, like Moses, Elijah, and Elisha. But one thing is certain about all that those whom I know God has called, they were not lazy people. They were people who were busy doing something or another. And I think we got some of that last night. A reference made to them. James, John, Peter, Andrew, they were busy mending their net or casting net in the sea. Paul was busy persecuting the church, but he was busy. And I am impressed always with Elisha, with 12 yoke of oxen. He was a strong man to drive those 12 yokes, and so on, so that persons are always called who are busy doing something for Christ. And when the Lord called Paul, he said, I confer not with flesh and blood. But he went into Arabia, and there he was for three years. And the Lord prepared him. And this is what I want us to consider. The whole matter, that is the awesomeness, and that is the urgency. I'm not going to pay much attention to these. You know the urgency. How can they believe on him whom they have not heard? How can they hear without a preacher? How can the preacher preach except he be sent? That is what we have in Romans 10. It's an urgent call also. But the whole matter of contemplation, evaluation, and preparation, this is something that is necessary, because one need to be certain that the Lord has called you. In Mark chapter 3 and verse 14. Well, it said in verse 13, he goeth up into a mountain and called unto him whom he would, and they came unto him. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach. So here, first of all, he called them that they might be with him, and then he's to send them forth to preach. Spending time with Christ, that we speak of Christ-centered servants and services. They must spend time alone with Christ before we can go out to preach. We must learn to kneel before God in private before we stand before men in public. Elijah could say, the Lord God before whom I stand. But he spent quite considerable amount of time in seclusion with God before he appeared before men. And it is vitally important that we spend time alone with Christ in prayers. And there is this question, I think, came up yesterday also. You notice that some of these things are overlapping, but it's all right. This question came up where John is concerned. The scribe, the Pharisees send from Jerusalem to ask John one question. Who art thou? Because they were wondering that John is the Christ. Is it that he reflect him so much? Possibly so. But many times you find that people preferred to receive the servant more than the Lord. They will tell you how much they enjoy what you have said, but they walk away without the Lord. John said, I'm not he. After they say, thou Elijah, thou that prophet, or so on. I am not he. What sayest thou of thyself? Was the next question. And the servant who approaches to serve the Lord, that's a pertinent question. What sayest thou of thyself? Because sometimes we think too much of ourselves. But John has a right evaluation of himself. And he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Some years ago, J. Vernon McGee and the Chance World Radio, we used to listen to him in Jamaica. And I heard him one night, and he was saying that people were saying and asking him to go on television. He said, no, I am staying on radio. I said, why? And he said this. He said, the preacher must be heard and not seen. And I tell you that radio has a greater effect on people than television in the sense of the gospel. I'm going to run through quickly because this is not what I really want to occupy so much with. Preparation of heart. I think we went by there also in Ezra 7 verse 10. Ezra prepared himself to know the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach it in Israel. And so that is what we need to do. When the Lord calls us, we are to say, yes, Lord, like Samuel did. Here am I. And but one need to be satisfied within your own heart that you have heard from God. You need to tell your spouse and your family about your exercise, whatever that exercise might be. Whether it is for a specific work or it is for short time, our half-time work, our full-time work. We need to talk to our spouse about these things. We need to talk to our local assembly as to our exercise as well. You know, I'm going to take us into another area of things, but I must also say that a young man, maybe you might have heard the story, dreamt that he saw PC. And he went to a brother, a more seasoned brother, and said, brother, I dreamt I saw the word PC, and that means that I must preach Christ. The older brother, who having heard him before, says, no, brother, that means to plant corn. So, there are a few questions that I'm going to raise, and I was thinking of putting us in separate groups and you discuss it and come back and present it, and that, things like that. But I changed my mind from that, and I thought that perhaps it's best that we all be together as we discuss these things. But I'm going to ask that if our sisters have question, that you write it and pass it to a brother and so that it can be read, for we want to get everything. So if you have questions, you just write it and slip it to a brother, and we will look at, a brother will read it. I'm going to pose a number of questions to which we will seek answers together. The first one I therefore want to pose is, what should be the responsibility of the servant local assembly? The one who has responded to the Lord, he say yes, and what should be then the response? What should be the attitude, the responsibility of his local assembly? Brothers? All right, let me give you one verse. Acts chapter 13. Verses 2-4. I read it. As they minister to the Lord and fast, the Holy Ghost saith, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they have been sent forth by the Holy Ghost. I want to bring in that part also. So then, what should be the responsibility of the local assembly? Could we have some feedback? Talk to me. We wasting time.
If I sit in a meeting and a brother brings that exercise of the heart in that meeting in which I sit, I would want him to first assure the meeting that it is the leading of the Lord. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing I would ask him.
Yes, so the assembly would seek to be satisfied that the Lord has called this person. Yes.
The order is, as they ministered, it's not something Paul and Silas wasn't doing. Hmm. They were engaged in the work already.
Yes.
It will not be right for an assembly to give the right hand of fellowship to a brother who did nothing before. Hmm. Okay? So it's as they ministered, as they served, the assembly saw, and the Spirit of God, as they fast and pray, says, give these men the right hand.
Okay, thank you. Yes?
I think this is a very important part, that the assembly can stand behind the exercise. The call is always from the Lord. The assembly does not send out. But it could well be the assembly, the brothers and sisters, they know that person. And if they have any kind of reservation, they should say. They should say about their feelings. And I know about a case like this, and I said to this brother, don't go on your mission till you have the full backing of the assembly. Don't just ignore the feeling of your brethren. Go out on your own and say, well, the Lord called me. Because it's a very important thing that you have the backing, the prayers, the hand of fellowship of your brethren.
Thank you.
I have a question from a sister seeking clarification.
We indicated that God calls those saved, baptized, and in fellowship. Does God not call others not fitting into that category? Saved, baptized, and in fellowship?
I'm speaking in the context now of Christianity. And in the context of Christianity, that is all that I know.
Yeah, but the point is that the order. Let's look at the order. If a brother, and we are speaking in an assembly setting, if we are looking at the order, it's definitely the person got to be saved. Okay? Know the Lord. He has a testimony in amongst the assemblies, in his local testimony.
Yes.
And it will be against the conscience and against scripture to commend a brother to a work that is not in fellowship. It means practical fellowship. Okay? He's in fellowship, but practical fellowship.
Practical fellowship.
Yeah, practical fellowship. Because they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread and prayers. So these are the guidelines. And all, as Brother Hans says, God calls the servant.
We serve
but
him.
The assembly give the right hand of fellowship, just confirming the call. But if there are not certain things as the Spirit of God in the assembly can indicate there is some things wrong, then after the assembly, conscience need to be satisfied and they can say, well, brother, we have reservations.
Yes. And state those reservations.
Just.
I see Watkin before you.
He needs a mic.
Yeah, a very good illustration is given us, and these principles come out in the book of Acts chapter 16. And the opening verses, speaking of Timothy, again, we had the call by Paul and the others in 13, but in chapter 16, you have Timothy who's joining them in the work. And notice, it says, then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek. Here's the consciences of the local assembly, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him. Why? The consciences of his local folks, and took him and circumcised him, because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. So this gives us the principle in answer to these questions.
So then, to the question that was raised by the sister, apart from the Old Testament saints, like Moses and Elijah and Elisha and so on and so forth, who we are not told that they were baptized, but they were clearly saved persons, and they were in fellowship with God and his saints. So I think the statements can remain.
Yes.
Yes.
Can I just say one thing, Hadley? Just from the Acts 13, verse 1, it says, now there were in the church. That indicates the fellowship. Yeah. And verse 2, they were ministering not just to the saints, to the Lord. It was Christ-centered.
Yes.
It was very visible. We need to appreciate, too, that you can't change local assemblies. The Apostle Paul was not always localized at Antioch. He was invited there by Barnabas. And I think this is something that we need to be very conscious of in our exercises to be sensitive as to where we can most effectually serve the Lord.
Yes. Thanks.
I just wanted to...
Okay. Oh, yes, you were before him.
I just wanted to say that when it comes to the question of being sent out, you will notice that in the Gospel of Matthew, it said, pray the Lord of the harvest. The Lord of the harvest. And therefore, the question of being called in relation to going out is under the Lordship of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So salvation, yes, but being baptized and breaking bread is response to his lordship. Yeah. And only those who respond to his lordship will hear the call of the Lord to go into the harvest of the Lord.
I have a question that was handed to me. I'd like to read it. Is it possible that your local assembly has not matured enough give their agreement of that servant's stated call to serve?
Yes, that is a possibility. We had a situation like that in Jamaica. And so we take the matter as well, all of these matters, naturally, in Jamaica. We're kind of different, but there. we take all these matters to the National Brothers Conference. And especially a local assembly that we consider weak, you know, either that, well, first of all, in a particular case I'm thinking of, a number of the leading brethren go and sit with the brethren there, and certain counseling took place, and then it was brought to the national gathering of brethren, and we make the assembly... was given further counseling and directed as to what to do, you know, it's a matter of counseling, and they wrote the letters and sent it out to the rest of the assemblies and the island, and then to the rest of all the assemblies worldwide. So that case indeed can happen, where maybe it's the only, maybe just two brothers in that fellowship, and they are not versed in all the things that they should look for concerning the mind of the Lord in a particular matter. Yes, brother.
There is the challenge of being sure that it's the Lord who calls.
Very good. That's my next question that I was going to bring. So go ahead.
That it's one thing if the Lord is definitely called, and there's a question of other men being persuaded to say amen. Mm-hmm. The bigger challenge that we have, and that I have seen, it's like when Absalom got killed. David is in Jerusalem. One man said, let me run and tell the king. Joab said, don't go. He still ran
without a message.
And when he got there, David said, is the young man alive? Is it all well? I see a crowd. He said, stand aside. That very often, as painful and as difficult as it might be, there is the faithfulness in saying, brother, are you absolutely sure that the Lord has called you? The text in Acts 13, the saints were together. Men were ministering to the Lord. There was evidence of their occupation with Christ and the work and the ministry. And when they said, the Lord has called me to go to a wider field, there was amen. I have seen years ago in Manhattan, 115th Street, a brother, gifted gospel preacher, said, I'm exercised to go full time. And the brethren said, we don't think so. We don't think that you are ready. Gospel preacher, wonderful. We say amen, we embrace you. But brother, you have not demonstrated a grasp of the truths of the faith, the doctrine that we hold. And going out full time is more than just preaching the gospel.
Yes.
That while we embrace you as a gospel preacher, we cannot in good faith give the right hand to send you out. Even though you claim that there are other brothers who are out there and you are more competent than they are. It's not our responsibility in judging them. But since you're asking this assembly for the right hand of fellowship, we have to be faithful to God and to you and say, brother, we can do it right now.
Thank you.
Faithfulness.
Thanks. As we leave the first question, I'd like to summarize what we have in these verses in Acts chapter 13, that they were ministering unto the Lord. Somebody pointed out that it was Christ-centered ministry already. They were involving, and they were praying, and it was and fasting, and it was during that time that the Spirit speak audibly, it seems, to the company, saying, separate me, Saul and Barnabas, unto the work whereunto I have called them. And the carefulness of the brethren, that although they have heard it, they still spend more time in prayer and fasting. And then they lay their hands on them, expression of fellowship, as they did that, and they send them forth. But while there is the assembly in full fellowship in sending them forth, we are also told that they're being sent forth by the Holy Spirit. So it is God sent them forth, and the assembly is in full agreement and in support of what the Lord is doing. Okay, so Brother Hassan has led us into the second question. How can the servant be sure that he or she is hearing from God? I mean, God spoke audibly to men in the past, and perhaps, I don't know, today, but God speak by his Spirit in our hearts. I think of Nehemiah, who says, I have not told anybody what the Lord has placed in my heart. And he get up in the night and he ride around and view the city and view the wall, but he hasn't tell anybody what the Lord has put in his heart. And that is one of the things that sometime God place things in our hearts. And I'm going to mention another way of which we see, it was read, Watkin, chapter 16. It was Paul's selection of Timothy to go with him. We are not told that Timothy was heard any kind of call from God or any statement like that, but that Paul select him. He has a good testimony in two provinces, and he was called a disciple. That's the first time we come upon Timothy, he was called a disciple. And him would Paul have to go with him. Paul select him to go. So some went by selection. Could we expand on some of these things?
We have quoted this verse many times. Ezra chapter 7. Verse 10. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. First, this is the order. He prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, to enjoy the word for himself. An illustration is Ruth. Ruth gleaned. She beated out what she had gleaned. And after she was satisfied, she took it to her mother-in-law. That's the order. Let me enjoy Christ. And as I enjoy him, it will be that desire, indeed, to do it, to practice, or put into practice that which you have gleaned, and then to teach it. That's the order. It's not to teach, then to do, and then to prepare.
Yeah.
It is where that desire for the things of the Lord, and again, we want to say openly, most servants are called privately. They are prepared privately. And it's for that servant to wait on God's time to be come out publicly.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe even in Acts chapter 1, verse 1, the things Jesus began to do and to, teach. So the idea is that the person is enjoying the Lord, and out of that enjoyment, the call comes, and God says, "He that is faithful in little,
he will commit more in much." Thank you.
Can I just add to Brother Brian's expressions? We can think also of the word of the Lord to us in Romans 12, 1 and 2. This is a very broad application in so many ways. It says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren." As we enjoy the mercies, the compassions of God, it should lead us to present our bodies, ourselves, all together to God, acceptable to him, which is but the reasonable or intelligent service. To capture this verse 1, we can say this is our availability. It is saying, "Lord, I appreciate what you have done, O God, for me in my salvation." In its three, presenting in its three aspects from chapter 1 up to chapter 11. "And now, having considered your love and your grace and your goodness to me, I want to give myself to you as a present. I hand it over as a gift. I know it is yours, but it is also mine in a sense, your bodies. But I want this body, myself, to be yours. Here, Lord, is my body, myself. If I make myself available, then I am going to discover the perfect will of God. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So it begins with this relationship, as Brother Brian has indicated, my preparation, my presentation, that fellowship with God. And it says that we will prove, we will discover. So for all of us, availability leads to discovery.
Yeah.
If I am not available, I will never discover. I can't sit back and say, in my armchair and somehow expect that a light from heaven, a lightning or something, or some voice from somewhere is going to come to me. Like Acts 13, be available, be involved, and keep looking to the Lord like a Joshua, serving, working, and then the green light is going to flash, and you're going to recognize this is your time. "Moses, my servant, is dead. Arise, go over Jordan." But you're going to be led back to the scriptures. You got to delight in this. You got to feed on this. It should not depart from your mouth. And then you will prosper and have good success.
Okay, I see a number of brothers. Thank you very much. I'm looking at their watches, and we have a few more questions to raise. Yes.
Yes.
Yes, Brother James.
Just want to consider two passages in Acts chapter 26 in relation to the question under review. Paul, as he was speaking to the King Agrippa, he said that the Lord spoke to him, Acts 26 and verse 17 says, "Delivering thee from the people and the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee." And in verse 19 he says, "Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision." But when we go into Galatians chapter 1 and verse 15, Paul again is saying, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the nations, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them who were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus." Then after 3 years. So I believe there are sometimes those times when you need to, in order to be sure you have gotten the call, as Paul did, but perhaps there needs to be a little time to elapse so you can be sure, mm-hmm. as before the Lord,
yeah.
you know, that you've been sent.
Thanks. What do we think about the idea of being helped by an older brother? For instance, Samuel was helped by Eli. You think that is still a possibility, that an older brother can detect that the Lord is calling you and kind of say a little word to the person to let them begin to see? Is that possible still?
What about 2 Timothy 1 verse 6? "Stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands."
Yes. That was, Paul said that. Yes, good. So we are in full agreement with that.
But Nathan, there is so much examples in the scriptures that there are so much examples in the scriptures and practically speaking around ourselves. Okay, Moses saw something in Joshua.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, Paul saw something in Timothy. Barnabas saw something in Mark that even Paul didn't see. Okay, and also you find the Lord has his disciples.
Yes.
So there is, personally, I had my Shiva Walker. I had my Watson Duncanson. I had my Ashton Bristol. I had Raul Innes. And they helped me in my life. And so there, this is something that is needed. Now I recognize that I could remember when your hair was black.
Yes. There was such a time. Eh?
Yeah. And I could remember when my own was black. I could remember Ashton. But what we are the old men now.
Yes.
And this is sobering. Mm-hmm. You know, we call ourselves young people, but we are the old men now. Mm-hmm. So now what was done to us, we need to do to the young men.
Yes.
So what you are mentioning is just only discipleship. They use words now, mentor, but it's really discipleship. Look at your brother. See if he have gift. And we can tell if a brother have gift after listening to him a couple of times and said to him, "Hey brother, listen for you." Yeah. And be honest. Be honest and tell the brother, "Listen brother, listen for you." You know, there was a brother at another place, okay, who lost his job. And he decided, "Well, now I'm going into the Lord's work."
Oops.
The brethren said to him, "Look for a job." Okay? No, they were men with backbone.
Yes.
Today, anybody could go.
Mm.
It's amazing. A brother said to me, you know, somebody was commended to shovel dung at a certain place. Commended by the assembly to clean the feces of animals.
Yes.
He says, unbelievable. What scripture will you use for that? So now, the thing is that all we are saying, it is so difficult to be honest and say to a person, that's not for you.
That's right.
And
that's
just be honest. They might kick up and make noise. But yes, the fact is, we have to be those who can give the real right hand of fellowship.
Yeah, we experienced something like that. But Herbert have something for us there? I think is a question.
Yes, there is a question from someone. What about practical support from the assembly? What about practical support from the assembly?
And I have a question to address that. But could we tie up this one, finish with this part of it?
One small thing. Brian referred to it, and I'm going to just emphasize it again. In relation to a brother helping a young brother or whatever age he might be at, spiritually or chronologically, you go back to Acts 16, and we see the quality, the character of Timothy. He was a disciple. He was a learner. So he took the place of learning, and of course, the headmaster saw what kind of student he was. And though Paul said, it says here, Paul would have him go forth. But not just on the fact that he was learning.
Mm.
In verse 2, it says he was well reported of by the brethren. So not only was he showing promise as a student, there were those who saw that there was something useful in him. So yes, an older brother can help a younger brother in this regard.
Yes, thanks. There is another case which I want to close on. Nehemiah inquired of his brethren as to the state of things in Jerusalem. Chapter 1 of Nehemiah. And it weighed heavily upon him, so that he prayed, he fasted for many days, he made confession, and he went. He got leaves from the king. He went and served in Jerusalem for a number of years, building the walls of Jerusalem. So that these are some of the ways in which one can be sure that the Lord is calling an individual, be it a brother or a sister.
Brother Milton, before you move,
we want to be balanced in the sense that God don't only call brothers.
Mm.
He calls sisters too.
Yeah.
Amen.
You know, and I could remember a sister wanted to go a certain place. And she was discouraged because, are you sure? And this sister used to work very much after speaking riddles, you see?
Yeah.
Because, you know, people, as we have a saying in St. Kitts, some people look in news. You see, and they're trying to find out which part geographically it is.
Okay.
But it was in the United States of America.
Okay.
So it's not in the Caribbean. But the fact is, I have seen sisters on the field, and they bring a level of, not balance, it's not uniqueness, man. Any college-educated people, come on now. Etiquette and elegance.
Yes.
You know, they bring and they have a nice calming
effect.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I have traveled with some wives. And I tell you, one act that really stood out with me years ago, there was some sisters at a certain place, hadn't bathed for, I think, weeks or months. And the individual went in and tore down the, and opened the curtains and what's not. And this lady had dirt. It was like all over her chest. And the individual hugged up the person. Some of us would say, not me.
Yeah.
It calls for a special breed.
Yes.
It's a special breed.
Yes.
But Dorothy Gardner.
Ah, right.
Wonderful sister. Mm-hmm. And we could call some others. Those in the Cameroon. There are, and there is a sister. Every birthday, every Father's Day, every anniversary, we get a card.
And go alone, brother.
You get it too.
It's, right, Joe?
Got you too.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Yes.
And it says, quiet in a little place, but very supportive to the work. Thank God for women like these.
Okay.
Another question.
Okay.
Can we entertain that?
Mm-hmm.
So far, what was said was all positive. The question now is, can an older brother or mentor hinder a called servant?
Yes. And the answer to that is a resounding yes.
Yes.
I mean, it should not be, but it is so. And I like the idea of moving away, because I think we have answered that one. But that when a brother is called of the Lord to the work, his wife also is called. Man and his wife. Also, but in the idea of single sisters going out, and I'm glad that our brother showed Dorothy, who as a single sister, I remember when she shared that she wanted to go out in the work, she came down to Jamaica on a MUG team, and after that, you know, she went out. And some of us wonder, but she did very well. Thank you.
Just one question, please. You hear the term and the expression full time. Is there a possibility
that we can have full time sisters as we have full time brothers?
Yes, brother. Yes. Yes. Just as we, yes, indeed. Our time is limited now, so I'm going to run on, although there are some other things that I know we all could say, and that question as a matter of assurance and so on. But somebody brought up the question of support. So what should be the expectation of the servant as he seeks to preach Christ? What are some of the expectations of the servant as he seek to preach Christ? Could we list some of them? And please list financial support in it.
I think we had Philippians 4 this morning. And it says in verse 19, but my shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. But this does not mean that the servant will be free from the ups and downs in life. That was also the experience. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. So it is not necessarily going to be a smooth road, that everything is going to be rosy. God will supply the need. Sometimes the need is to experience limitations, not always fulfillment as we may see it, but God is going to meet the need.
Yes, Brother Hans, and then.
So this is a very delicate matter when we talk about
the money and about the financial support of the laborers. I have noticed in the last few years a trend to a new way. You know that there are, in certain countries, they have funds where money gets in and they are responsible brothers to pass them on. But this new trend says we want to have a circle of friends. And these friends support us.
Hmm.
So when they send out a letter, it's not addressed to the assemblies, it's a letter addressed to friends. This sounds very good. You know, they say, well, you know, we don't want to get paid on a regular basis from a fund. But this is really not the question. This circle of friends, you know what can happen? Because this is what other circles are doing. If you go out for an organization, you are told you have to look for your own support, you have to have your own friend which back you up. And I like to warn, you know, that we should not have a circle of friends which only support us. To go out and to work for the Lord, because the danger is that after you're not responsible to anyone anymore.
Mm.
These are your friends, you know. You don't have to respond to them. But if you had the right hand of fellowship of your assembly and things go wrong on the field, maybe that assembly will ask questions which has also a financial impact.
Mm.
May I address the Jeff was... Sorry.
Yes, Jeff was before you.
It was just a simple point in terms of...
not just financial support, but prayer support as well. And this comes out of Colossians in chapter 4, where Paul says to the Colossians, though they did not send him out, they had not even seen his face up to that time, but he's asking of them, pray for me.
Oh, yes.
Or praying also for us, that God would open unto us the door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds.
Yes.
So prayer support is very important.
Prayerful support is necessary.
I would say, Hans, we don't have that problem in the Caribbean. That's a problem in Europe.
Brother Brian, I am not sure that you are correct.
Hold on, let me finish, Sam. After I finish speak, then after you correct me. Okay? When we are talking about support for the brethren in the Caribbean, it's a very touchy subject because we don't have much. So we have to take the little and ask the Lord to stretch it. You see, while in certain places there are abundance, but the obligation, this is where I'm coming, the obligation of the assembly to the worker, who they have commended. You see, he should live, because sometimes the workers' children are not taken care of. And these are things, and hey, let me bring scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7. Who goeth to war any time at his own charge? Who planted a vineyard and eateth not of the fruits thereof? Or who feedeth the flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man, or say not the Lord the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the ox, the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care of the oxen? Or said he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that treadeth in hope shall be partakers of the hope. And he continues. Let me do read it, but you could read it yourself. Okay? What we are saying in light of the worker, and I'm not putting in a pitch for myself. Okay? All I'm saying, if the assembly has commend a brother, then after there's an obligation also in relation to his needs. If you preach the gospel, you should live by the gospel.
Yes.
Okay? We have seen where in Ethiopia they had this same illustration that the Bible brought out. The ox just treading out the corn. And the ox is eating some as it go along. But imagine, the brother is preaching. And you tie up his mouth. And he cannot eat nothing.
Yeah.
It's that. So the illustration is what the scriptures bring before us.
Yes.
So the idea is that the assembly should support. We are not saying if individuals cannot give gifts.
Yes.
But the support should come from the assembly.
Lance.
First Corinthians 16, the question before us is the expectation of the servant. The expectations are not only financial expectations.
No.
There is the aspect of moral and psychological support, and we find that in 1 Corinthians 16. The apostle Paul, as he wrote to the saints there at Corinth, he says, verse 8, he says, "But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries." Verse 10 is the verse that I want. "Now if Timotheus come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord as I also do." So some of the expectations, they're outside the parameters of financial. They are moral and psychological support for the servant.
Thank you. Because time is against us, let me just summarize on this question then, more or less, that the servant should expect to be prayed for by the saints in his local assembly and wider field. He should expect encouragement, but it also can expect to be criticized, can also be expect to be discouraged. Somebody had mentioned that before. Out there we'll meet oppositions, disappointments, and all of these are expectations, and some of them come from your own brethren, some will come from the world, and we have to seek to serve. And sufferings and financial support must come from the saints. We don't want our brethren going out preaching and taking up collection to support themselves. So the saints have to support the servant that is out there preaching. One last comment.
I just want to read from Acts 9 in relation to the Lord speaking about Saul. And he says, "He is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." So the Lord acknowledges that he is the person sending out Saul. Then the next verse says, "I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake."
Yeah.
And everything is included there. Financial, discouragement, you name it, it is there. But you know who is the person supporting Saul?
The Lord.
The one who sent him out.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Thanks. All right. I'm going to ask this other one. What is the role of the servant's wife and children? Like, take it, say, it's a male in this case, or vice versa, it's a female and her husband and children. What support in this matter is to be expected from my wife. The Lord called me into the work before I got married. I'm speaking personally. So then, what support then should I expect from my wife? And afterward, children come, what support should I expect from them?
You were in the work before your wife?
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't so much. I just use that as... Yes, I was in the work before I got married.
Say happy wife, happy life.
Yes. What is the role? Support. Okay, good. Let's move on then. It is.
I just want to quote one scripture from Genesis. Genesis chapter 2. When the Lord put Adam in the garden, he said in verse 18, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will give him a help meet for him." A help suitable.
Suitable, right.
That's the kind of support that you're going to get from a spouse.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it be a male or a female, that is the kind of support. A help suitable.
Yeah.
Not a help meet, but a help meet. Yes.
Good.
We have in the book of Acts, Priscilla and Aquila.
Aquila.
Tremendous. Who put down their necks for the Apostle Paul?
Mm-hmm.
Suitable. You see, she was a real support to her husband. You know, but there is some wives also like Jezebel.
Mm.
You see? So, but we have to, we stay on positive lines.
Positive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know support. She support him in error. But Priscilla was a tremendous support to Aquila.
Aquila. Because in some of the things that Paul wrote to Timothy in Timothy chapter 3 is that the bishop, the worker, or the deacons, their wives are to be of certain character so that the word of God is not blasphemed. So it is very important that wife and children live what their father and their husband are teaching and preaching, that they give the moral support in the community, in everywhere, so that there is no difficulty there.
I remember an encounter with the daughter of one servant. He said, "Brother Ashton, the Lord called my father and my mother. He didn't call me."
Oops.
"So I am not going to live at place blank. The Lord called my father, the Lord called my mother, the Lord didn't call me. But the whole family is doing well."
Hmm.
In another worker, young men, and they're all close to me, said, "Blank Ashton, it's a hard parable. The Lord called my dad. It's a challenge that the Lord called my dad at the time when I'm going to college. The financial demands are so much greater. We embrace the fact that the Lord called my dad, and I know the Lord will take care of us. But there is a great need, and a lot has to do with the ages of my children."
Mm.
"That here these boys fully embrace and endorse the notion, God called my dad. And that call definitely will have an impact on how much we would have, but we embrace it." it's a challenge. And when there are little children, the assembly that commended must have a greater insight and sensitivity towards the children of the servant and their needs. In St. Albans, there were times where it's a sister in our adult Sunday school class will sensitize us concerning those family issues. At times, as men, you think one thing, you work on an assumption. The woman knows the economics of the home, and she raises our sensitivity concerning being mindful of that need.
Yes.
Because of these children. Mm-hmm. And I say again, the balance, that when some brothers may not be thinking a certain line, godly women in the assembly raise that sensitivity, and we must be mindful of the children of the workers.
Thank you. 5 minutes more?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So we have to talk quick with this one, is it? What disqualified a servant of the Lord?
You can take 10 minutes.
Huh?
You can take 10 minutes.
10 minutes, okay. So what disqualifies a servant of the Lord? The Lord might call you, and you've been going along, but can he be disqualified at any point? He or she, I should say.
Yes.
What can we think of?
He can be disqualified morally, doctrinally, and because of evil association.
So being commended doesn't mean that you will die in the service of the Lord.
Yeah, you are not indispensable.
Mm-hmm.
You have to answer to the assembly still, and you're still in fellowship.
Right.
So these guidelines must govern the individual. There are more, railing and various things.
Like, suppose the person not working, lazy and not doing the work, things like that, unprofitable ministry, not, you sense, get nothing at all, or that kind of thing. So there are areas where we can either encourage, say, brother, pull up your socks, as it were, as well as there might be, if there's sin involved, that one is still accountable to the assembly and is treated as any other brother or sister in the fellowship. All right? Okay. We spoke of the servant's expectation. What is the expectation of the assembly towards where the servant is concerned? Does the assembly have an expectation of the servant? I hope I haven't confused. Does the assembly have any expectation of that servant?
Yes, I think they should. Because if you're supporting someone, you'd like to hear how they're doing. So they have a responsibility, I believe, from time to time to report to the assembly, to let the assembly know how they're getting along, what they're involved in, so that we can pray more effectively for them and be a source of encouragement to them. Just to go back one quick second, you asked about what should the servant expect. I think it was Sam who might have done it. The servant should go out expecting that the Lord would take care of them. They shouldn't be expecting, I'm going to go out and the saints are going to support me, although that should take place, as Brian said, don't muzzle the ox that tread the grain. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, because there's some who might go out thinking, no, I'm going to get taken care of, etc. Paul says in Philippians, he's learnt to be abased. He's learnt to be without.
Yes.
And to be, you know, to get, Paul went around and became a tent maker so he wouldn't have to depend on those who were not in a position or depend on some who their character was not what it ought to be. So expectations from those who have gone out, I believe they have a responsibility to let the assembly who have commended them, let them know how they're doing.
Yeah, we are
told
we are told that when Paul went out on his missionary journey, he returned and reported all that the Lord has done.
I was just going to quote that verse.
Okay, sorry.
In Acts 14, in Acts 14, 26, it says, "And thence they sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled." So they came back to their local assembly when they had, on the end of the first missionary journey. "And when they were come, they had gathered the church together." So it was not just even the brothers. The whole fellowship was brought, and they rehearsed all that, not that they did, but that God had done. It was Christ-centered.
Yes.
God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles, and there they abode long time with the disciples in their local fellowship. At the end of the second missionary journey, they did a similar thing in chapter 18. In chapter 18, in verse 22, "And when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up, saluted the church, he went down to Antioch. And after he had spent some time there, he departed and started on the third missionary journey." So the expectation is to be in contact with the local assembly and also open to the exercises of the fellowship. Because when Paul wanted to go to Jerusalem, there were those brethren who had moral authority to tell him, "Don't go." So the servant is not a loose kite or a loose cord or a loose screw. He is always in relationship to the fellowship. There's a question from the Milton. "If the servant is not sent, should they ask the assembly for financial support?" If the servant is not sent, should they ask the assembly for financial support?
Let me just try this. There is only one category of persons that the assembly is obligated to support, and that is, apart from those that are sent, is widows indeed.
Yes.
That's what we are told.
Well, I was about to read this scripture, though, in reference to the first question. The elders, this is 1 Peter chapter 5. "The elders which are among you, I exhort, verse 2, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind." So the expectation of the assembly is to be fed by those who have been recommended as well.
I would say, brother, that the person who has not been saved is the kind of person that will expect the assembly to support them.
Yeah.
You all have a case like that.
Yes.
So, how you handle it?
Milton, we send him back from whence he came.
Milton. I'm overriding Brian's question and leave it there. We were at the workers' conference, and there is another big challenge facing us in the assemblies of God. Mm-hmm. What we find today is not like Paul going out a missionary journey and coming back and reporting, etc. Saints raise the question of full time. And at times the full time character seem to presume a higher ranking or level among the brethren. When the saints raise the challenge that here is a full-time so-called brother, and brothers who have full-time jobs are more involved in the feeding of the saints and carrying on the testimony, it raises a lot of challenge.
Yeah.
That there are brothers with a full-time job who are going. And so, I don't know the full answer, but it's a question, because perhaps later this afternoon, so much has been overlapped that they might be touching a little of the work and the others. But that's a problem in some places.
Brethren, I think the discussion was profitable. Could we stand and sing a part of the hymn, Speed Thy Servant, Savior, Speed Them? That is number 496. We start singing from, say, verse 3. Let's start from verse 3. Go ahead.
Send thy direct to their places of thy choice. If they did not make subjection, listen only to thy voice. Bless and use them, bless and use them in thy service to
standing for prayers. Our gracious Lord, we give thee thanks and we praise thee for the time we could spend together discussing these practical matters. And Lord, how we seek your help that we ourselves might be the servant that we ought to be, and that our responsibility in the assembly and the various responsibility that we have discussed. We thank thee for the time that we have been spending and the way thou hast been speaking to us. We bless thee, Lord. We also bless thee for those whom thou art using. Thou call them this week to serve thee in the kitchen. And Thou art using them tremendously. We pray your blessing upon them. We thank thee for the food which thou hast provided, and we thank thee for the hands that have prepared them. Prepare it, Lord. And as we would go to enjoy it now, we desire blessings upon our bodies. We give thee thanks in your precious and ever-worthy name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you very much, friends. Thank you for your patience. I know a lot of persons have things they would like to say, but it could not all be accommodated. Thank you.